You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Cool. Well, time has gone. Man, it's amazing. When we first got to Oklahoma and I started transporting Reuben off to school, it was always a big trip. Had to go up and down the Sooner Drive. Man, I know every inch of the Sooner Drive. It was so much driving that I was doing. One of the first things I found out was that I could go to the Norman Library and I could pull out all these really cool recordings of all sorts of subjects. So I learned quantum mechanics and all sorts of physics, and I got all sorts of interesting lectures and stuff I'd listen to as I'd be driving around the place. So I enjoyed that. But it seemed like, wow, you know, Reuben was just a small guy at that time, and I thought, well, this is going to go forever, you know. And here we are. It's all over. High school's gone. And as I pointed out to Reuben, you know, there is only the now and the future, really. So what we need to do is always look and plan towards the future. And as Clayton was saying, look for these doors that God will open for us and make sure we walk through them as we consider what's possible and right for us. Right, well, I think it's my turn to say something, and because we've used up a bit of time, I won't spend too much time. But I do know that there's quite a few people that are following this Acts 29 stuff that we're doing. We're up to part 9, and there has been a lot that I've learnt over the week. Quite a lot. And so just before I begin, let's have a word of prayer. God, we pray as we open up the scriptures once more that you would help us learn and understand. We thank you for the scriptures that have been preserved for us, that thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. We thank thee, Lord, for that. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so, this is huge. Now, there's problems. As you go along, as you start studying the Bible and you're looking for a systematic, a schema, all sorts of words we can use for how we understand the Bible, there crops up issues. You're saying, but how does that work with this? And how does this work with that? And so on. And making things fit is the mark and the hallmark of a great systematic, great schema. When things that we understand and know to be true, when they fit together well, then we're very happy with our schema. And if it doesn't, it bugs you. It bugs you. And it should. So it should. We must examine things. And that's what we have been doing. And this has been my model that I've had for some time. And I'm changing this and re-examining this. And we've been looking at this idea of the pragmatics of the apostles, that they had certain deeds that they performed which were done in accordance with the will of God. So in their deeds you see the will of God. And one of the things that you'll notice is this kingdom of God, and understanding what the kingdom of God meant to the disciples, the apostles, that's very important to understand. And the kingdom of God was preached seven times, right, the last one occurring right here at Acts 28:31, a complete listing in the book of Acts. And so I diagrammed that this way. What is important here is the fact that in the context of Colossians 4:11, you get the eighth new beginning of the kingdom of God. And you notice it says, and Jesus. Isn't it interesting that it's Jesus? Have you ever thought about that? Why Jesus? I mean, every occurrence of the word Jesus does not apply to the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is one of them. But isn't it interesting that it starts off with, and Jesus? And Jesus, which is called justice, who are of the circumcision. Wow, that's interesting. Because the kingdom of God in the book of Acts has all been about the ministry as it relates to Israel, coming out of the Moses and the law and the prophets. These only... These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God. You think that's by accident? This is not by accident here. You know, it's just not by accident. These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. So now the kingdom of God is being put in a quite a different context. And these people who would have formerly understood the kingdom of God in a different context, in a context which related to Moses and the prophets, now they're having to learn something new. And Paul, the prisoner, and we must ask ourselves, which prison? When? What prison is he talking about? Is he talking about the prison where he went into at the end of the book of Acts, or later on? And what I'm suggesting to you is, it's later on. It's a prison number two. It's an Acts 29 prison, right? That's why I use Acts 29. It's Paul, the Acts 29 prisoner. That's the one he's talking about. Very interesting things here. The Greek language here is fantastic. It brings up some issues which I'll bring forward as we go through this later on. And this idea of the preaching of the kingdom of God. You notice in Acts 28:31 it says preaching the kingdom of God. Yeah, well, that's also mentioned previously. The preaching of the kingdom of God. Same preaching going on. We mentioned this last time about asking questions. The salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. They will hear it. And I pointed out this is in the indicative mood, and this means it is, and in the indicative mood, it's usually stated as a fact. Are they hearing the mystery? Does it mean, and they will hear the mystery? No, I don't think so. Because manifestly, even in Paul's day, only Luke is with me. All have forsaken me. Right? Something different happened with Paul, the prisoner, Acts 29. Something different happened. How about the Jewish kingdom message? Well, yeah, that many people will go along with that. Even to today. If you want to talk about a kingdom ministry, if you want to talk about the Gospels, then at least amongst those who name the name of Christ, you'll be fairly popular. In fact, most of the preachers of today, they are preaching something akin, not quite the same, but something akin to the message of the kingdom of God as you'd find it in the book of Acts. Many of them will claim that they have the ability to bring forth the signs and the wonders. I'm not saying this to put them down. I'm simply saying this to point out a fact, something that's recognizably true. You'll see it in your own experience. And our good systematic should explain what you see. Right? It should. We should be able to understand what's going on around us by what our systematic says. So today, now, E.W. Bullinger was a great man. Great guy. Great guy from two aspects. Number one, intellectually great. Smart guy. Had many abilities and he applied them to the Bible. Number two, even though he was smart, he, unlike many people who are smart, could admit when he was wrong. And he did. And he admitted when he was wrong. And even said things and words to the effect that those things that he wrote before were wrong in this respect. And that has to do with his understanding of Acts 28. Now, in the Companion Bible, which is one of, well, it's largely Bullinger's work. It's not quite true to say that the Companion Bible is the work of E.W. Bullinger, because he did not complete it all. And then a team of people carried on after him. But a lot of his work is in the Companion Bible. And if you go to the Companion Bible and you go to Appendix 77, in there you'll see this chart. Well, this is reproduced at least from that. In my Companion Bible, it's very, very fuzzy because of the reproduction process in the printing. But what's important here, I just want you to see, is that there are two things going on here. Notice it says, and here it says the 70 years of the desolation. And then over here it says the 70 years of Babylonian servitude. Servitude and desolation. The next thing I want you to see is that on the left is the kings of Judah and on the right the kings of Israel. Then along the top here you've got the prophets. Prophets' names. What am I interested in? Well, this is what I'm interested in. I'm interested in knowing what the prophet said about the coming exile in terms of servitude and in terms of desolation. I want to know what the prophets have to say about this. And it would be cool if we could find a prophet or prophets that were around before the desolations and servitude and during it. It would be really cool if we could find one or more that were around and they prophesied during the time that Israel went into exile and were in exile. Why? Why? Because one of the traditional things that I had believed, let's go back to my systematic that we started with, one of the things that I had believed was that right here at Acts 28:28, that's where Israel became Loami, not my people. And because of that, that reinforced the notion that this is when the mystery must be revealed. Now, and I still think that's in itself not bad logic. I'm not saying the logic is totally wrong there. But here is the question. What is the nature of how Israel went into that state of Loami? Was it like this? Wham! It was just like that? Or do we see something else happening? And the only way we can answer that, I believe, is to see how it happened in the past. Because how it happened in the past is also prophetic of how things will happen in the future. So, that's one of the reasons why I'm asking this question. Where can we find in the Bible such a situation where Israel is judged and goes into exile? And where do we find this? Well, if you look up the top here, notice, first of all, you've got here Jeremiah. It's not very clear, but that's Jeremiah there. And then over here what you have is Daniel. See, there's Daniel. And then next to him here, now it's interesting, I don't know that this is true. I have not verified. I don't have any problem with Daniel. And I don't have any problem with Jeremiah. I see that as being absolutely true. That Jeremiah and Daniel, they certainly see this whole exile thing happening and are involved with it. Then, but I don't know about Joel. I've not verified this. But, you know, I'm going to respect E.W. Bullinger and say, okay, he's probably got good reason for putting it here. Then what you have is Ezekiel, and I have verified that. Ezekiel, definitely. And then Bullinger, what he has is Obadiah, and this is interesting because this is a prophecy against Edom. Okay, so the two big ones, the three big ones, will be Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And I'm really starting to dig into Ezekiel. Okay, Ezekiel, and I'll have to do more work on this, but I'm already discovering a lot out of Ezekiel. So this is a bit of an enlarged view of this. So we don't have to go through the whole of the Old Testament to get a good impression of what's going on here. We just need to concentrate especially on Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Okay, now I'm going to show you, I said last time I'd show you a bit of a summary, and I looked around for some good summaries, and I thought about making up my own, which I will eventually, but I found some very good summative pictures and discussions from the Bible Project. So the Bible Project is a great resource. These two videos here, they're very short, part one and part two about Ezekiel. So if you've got time, click on these and have a look at them. They're really good. They are excellent, in fact. A good summative exhibitions of Ezekiel. Now, this is an image I took off the video. And you can see it's pretty detailed. It's got a lot in it. But it is fantastic because as you read through Ezekiel, you get it. And it starts off here with Ezekiel being in captivity. He's obviously in captivity and he sees this vision of the glory of God. This wheels within wheels thing. Man, it's complicated, this thing. But there's no doubt about it that this is something of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. There it is. Now, a good question to ask is, what's it doing there? Isn't that supposed to be over the temple and in the temple? Isn't the glory of the Lord supposed to be right there in the temple? And that is the main thing. It's all about this idea that the glory of God is moving away from Israel. And as you go through here, and you see all sorts of nice little lessons about Israel and how he was commissioned. There's also a promise in the first chapters, especially in chapter 11, that Israel, nonetheless, even though it's going to be judged, it's going to be brought back again. I read this to you last time. And then as you go through chapters 1 through 5, you see Ezekiel, and he goes through all this play acting about how Israel is going to be judged. Stop. Ask yourself a question. I thought all Israel has already been judged. Ezekiel is in captivity. He's amongst the first waves of the captivity, and he's gone into captivity. But why is he play acting here then? Hasn't it already occurred? And the answer is, a first wave has happened, but there's yet judgment coming on Israel, and he's play-acting it. So the important point, one of the important points to get out of Ezekiel is the fact that in Ezekiel, you do see a partial judgment coming on Israel. Ezekiel is showing it. And he's also demonstrating the fact that there is a completeness of the judgment still yet to come. Important lesson. You say, why? Remember last time I showed you in chapter 12? In chapter 12, you get this exhibition of basically what you read in Isaiah about judgment coming on in terms of the ears and the eyes, have they closed, and all these things. Just like Acts 28. Ezekiel chapter 12 is just like what you find discussed in Acts 28 when Paul took his last imprisonment of the book of Acts. Some bells are starting to go off now, with me at least. And so what you get is this twofold thing about judgment and hope. So you see judgment coming on Israel. And you find judgment coming on the wicked nations. And then in chapter 33, what you find is this final discussion about judgment coming on the remainder of Israel. Let's go there. And I want you to see this. This is Ezekiel 33. So in Ezekiel 33, you get this. Verse 21. Ezekiel 33, verse 21. Remember what I've said and what you find in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel, he is already in captivity, but he is play-acting a judgment that is yet to come. Cool. Verse 21. And it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity. The 12th year of our captivity. In the 10th month, fifth day of the month, that one that had escaped out of Jerusalem, so one escaped the activities that are going on in Jerusalem, came unto me saying, the city is smitten. Here it comes. Now a fulfillment of what Ezekiel had been demonstrating by his play acting. And in Ezekiel, you're told quite emphatically that these things are going to happen. So as you read through here, it says, now the hand of the Lord was upon me in the evening, afore he that was escaped came, and had opened my mouth, until he came to me in the morning, and my mouth was open, and I was no more dumb. Now he could talk about this. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, They that inhabit those wastes of the land of Israel speak, saying, Abraham was one, and he inherited the land, but we are many, the land is given us for inheritance. Oh yeah. Wherefore say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, ye eat with the blood, and lift up your eyes toward your idols, not good, and shed blood, not good, and shall ye possess the land? Shall ye, you who are idolaters and shed blood, shall you possess the land? You stand upon your sword, ye work abomination, and ye defile everyone his neighbor's wife, and shall ye possess the land? Second time. Say thou thus unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, As I live, surely they that are in the waste shall fall by the sword, and him that is in the open field will I give to the beast to be devoured, and they that be in the forts and in the caves shall die of the pestilence, for I will lay the land most desolate, and the pomp of his strength shall cease, and the mountains of Israel shall be desolate, that none shall pass through. Now you can read the rest of this. It's really cool. This is a great summary. In chapters 34 through 37, left boom, connected to the right boom, you know. The business of the dry bones, really cool stuff. The promise of hope, resurrection to life, that Israel one day will be brought back. Then there's also 38 to 39, the evilness in the nation shall be dealt with, and there's going to be hope for the nations nonetheless, and then hope for all creation, chapters 40 through 48. Okay, that's what it's basically, a summary. Now, coming back to my systematic, okay, so what? Why is that important? Well, this is the important thing, and I want you to see this, okay? And this relates to Matthew 22. So in Matthew 22, oh, that's a good word to some people. Matthew 22, what you have is a discussion about this, and it's a parable. Now, the parable talks about the marriage of the king's son. And what you'll have here is you'll have this sending. There is a sending. Now, you'll notice over here on my display, I'll use my little pointer here. So, here, apostelia. So, this comes from the lexical form apostello, the verb. To send. Can you hear a word in that, apostello? Apostle, right? Apostle. So what's happening here is that there is a first sending of servants. The first movement of the apostles, right? The first movement of the apostles, and then down here, I've got two keklemenus, and that is from the verb kalel, to call. These are the called ones. These are the elect. The elect. They are the called ones. So these apostles are being sent out to the called ones. But what happened? They would not come. So over here you've got the first sending. Number one. Apostles went out. They said come. Come to the marriage. No. They would not come. Then what happens is, the scriptures say, and I'll translate this for you here, again, Palin, again, God doesn't give up on Israel. Again, he sent Elus, other slaves, other servants, Dulus, other servants he sent. Now, I'm going to really push on this word here, alus. Okay, the lexical form is alos. Alos. Others of the same kind. Others of a different kind, you use a different word, heteros. Heteros. Others of a different kind. But here, alos of the same kind. Again, he sent other servants of the same kind. as he did previously. Right? That's what he did. So over here, he sends out apostles of the same kind. And what's he doing? He's saying, okay, everything's ready. It's all ready. Why? Well, the cross work has been done. We see that in the fact that Peter now, he understands this message. Previous to that, Peter says, be it far from thee. Now, he's equipped. Spirit's given to, Acts chapter 2. They go out in power of the Spirit, and off they go. And unfortunately, people there, the nation of Israel, say, no, we won't have this man to rule over us. And they stone people, and they kill these apostles. All sorts of stuff goes down. Now, this is where a problem arises. A very big problem. Now, just to make sure you see the problem, and what I suggest is the solution to the problem, we must look at it. Okay, so look at this. Matthew 22. Find it, and make sure you see the problem with me. Because with problems come great things, I find, if you stick at it. So Matthew 22, okay, it says this in verse 5, okay, so it says in verse 5, but they made light of it, so that's what we read down here, right? So this is in the second movement, the second wave of the apostles going out, everything's ready, but verse 5, they made light of it. And went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Okay, that's, we understand that. We find that in the book of Acts. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers. So the ones that killed them, that killed the apostles, they themselves were killed and burned up their city. Now, verse 8. Then saith he to his servants. Then saith he to his servants. So you notice it begins with then. So because it says then, that tells me that this happens consequent to the verse 7. Then. But what happened previously? Well, what happened previously, one thing we know is that the city was burnt, wasn't it? The city was burnt. Then, right, after the city was burnt, what happens? It says, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, as many as ye find, bid to the marriage. Okay, so then, over here, this is where the third sending occurs. Right? Number three. So the second ministry must extend up to there, right? Has to extend to there. Then, once the city is burned, then you get this third thing happening where they go into the highways. You got this? Now, okay. Well, this is what I want to occur in my mind. What I wanted to occur is I wanted, where it says the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, that's where I want the third ministry to begin, right? That's where I want it to begin. But it doesn't. It doesn't happen there. Now you say, well, maybe that's where the city was burned. Maybe that's where Jerusalem was burned. But there's nothing in the scriptures to say that. And from history, we do get some fairly clear indication, and I'm not going to use this to completely drive my interpretation, but what I do know is, see this picture here where I've got Jerusalem being burned, that occurred according to history at AD 70, which is, by most accounts, is going to be way after Acts 28, right? And the context would seem to demand that, because we have nothing in the context by Luke of any mention of judgment coming on Jerusalem. There is no exilic stuff going on yet, we can, as far as we can see. Okay, so how does that change my interpretation then? Well, what if this is happening? What if we've got this going on? We read in Ezekiel chapter 12 something that looked just like Acts 28, right? So why don't we just accept that as being like a paradigm of what's going on here? First of all, you've got the first judgment, significant judgment on Israel. That's Acts 28, where you've got the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles just prior to that judgment coming on Israel. That is like what we find here by Ezekiel, who's off in captivity, and Paul is just like that. He's not a captive in the same way that Ezekiel is, I know that, but the context of Ezekiel 12 is very similar to what you find in Acts 28, so that Ezekiel and Paul, very similar in their activities. Okay, so then what's going on here in Ezekiel 33? Well, Ezekiel 33 now will be just akin to the time when Jerusalem was judged, as we find it in AD 70. So now what we have is we have two significant events. One, which happened at Acts 28:28, which is similar to that first wave of captivity as we see in Ezekiel. And then later on, when Jerusalem is being judged, you've got this second thing that is fulfilled in Ezekiel 33, where Jerusalem is judged. Okay, so then putting it all together, what does it mean? How does it change things? Well, what we'd see then is this. We would see that as the book of Acts unfolds, that a ministry to Israel is still continuing, as you find Ezekiel. Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter 12, right through here, he's still active on Israel. He's still warning them and ministering to them and, you know, got a ministry to them. So that will still continue right up to the time when Israel here is judged finally in this final captivity, as you find in Ezekiel. Acts 28, of course, is continuing. And as I say, the continuation, I'm just calling Acts 29. And at some stage, the mystery is revealed. And then Paul, the prisoner, is now going to talk about the revelation of the mystery. And what you'll find is at this time that there are two corresponding hopes going on, two ministries and two hopes. And at some stage later on, you'll find that Jerusalem is judged. Now, what is very interesting about this is that if you read Paul's Acts epistles, he's very interested in Israel. Very. First and Second Thessalonians. Boy, it's right there. Right through his epistles. Even the First and Second Corinthians. Romans. Israel is there. There's no doubt he's dealing with them. When you read Ephesians, say, and Colossians, and those prison epistles, Israel is no longer there. Why would that be? Well, because now the fellowship of the mystery has been revealed by Paul, the prisoner, Acts 29. And so therefore, a new hope has been revealed. Up until then, Paul would still continue his ministry concerning the New Jerusalem and all those other things that were revealed to him. He would still be ministering those things. They would still be happening. There is nothing in Acts 28 that says anything contrary to that. Nothing. There's absolutely nothing in Acts 28 that says that anything has changed except the audience. The audience has changed. It's gone from the Jews to the Gentiles in that area. Okay, well, I'm out of time. And as you can see, it's a complicated picture, isn't it? It's starting to get a bit complex. So what we'll do is we'll start to break it down a little bit into one or two areas. And there's more here which I've got to go through, but I think it's important. This business of how Israel became Lo-Ammi, Ezekiel gives you something different to consider, that it happens in waves. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for today, for all that Thou hast given to us. We ask for understanding as we open up the Scriptures. We thank Thee, Lord, for Clayton and Reuben, Lord, that You'd guide them in their lives and bring them the fulfillment they need, Lord, in this life. Use them, and Lord, that we'll see much fruit from their lives. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.